thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
Can I tell you, it's iniquity. That's what we need to ask God to help us with. We got to ask him to help us with those inner sins, those inner struggles. God, here it is. I'm not struggling, God. I'm saying this by the grace of God. I'm saying this not because of Kobe Nesbitt. I'm saying this because God is upholding me. I'm not struggling with adultery, but there's some things on the inside that I can't be mean and nasty. There's some things on the inside of me that Paul said, in my flesh, there warreth no good thing. Come on, hear something. I'm not wrestling with stealing. I'm not wrestling with some of the big things that we will quote unquote say, but as long as you're here, as long as you're on God's green earth, you're going to be fighting with something. Or let me say it this way, you better be fighting with something. If you're not fighting, you're yielding. Can I say that again? You better be fighting with something. Peter said like this, I got Bible for you, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, he says, he that have suffered in the flesh has ceased from sinning. In other words, there are some things that I want to say that I just won't say because it's not pleasing to God. There are some things I want to do, but I just won't do it. Because it's not pleasing to God. Come on here. Come on here. I love my wife. She's a dime. She's top of the line. Cute face, small waist, and she got a big hair. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. I love my wife. But it seemed like after February the 19th, 2005, it seemed like they started looking better. And here they started coming out the woodworks, bruh. I was like, I was single all this time. Now all of a sudden, as soon as I say I'm finna get married, now they saying, hey, Kobe. Ain't no hey, Kobe, nothing. Where you been at for the last 2 years? Where were you at? All them cold showers. Where were you at? All them lonely nights. Now you talking about, hey. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. But as much as I love her, as much as she better love me, it's not a physical attraction that keeps us together. No, I love God more than I love her. She better love God more than she loves me, because I know about Chad that's sitting next to you at the job. You don't think I know? Somebody told me about old Chad. Hey, Camilla. I'm just saying hey to my wife. Joe Barry White sounding, Luther Vandross singing, whispering sweet nothing self. Talking about hey. Hey is for horses, sir. Them old joker, old swole. I can't stand the old swole joker. Running down the street with his shirt off. Put some clothes on, sir. My wife around here. But it's a love for me. It's my love for her. Does that make sense? To where it's about knowing that if you're not struggling with something, you're yielding to something. Oh, that's good. David said, Lord, I want you to have mercy. I got to hurry, y'all. I'm already took up my little time. David said, but they wanted to sing a little lullaby, so they got all my time, right? All my time, right over this area, right over here. They got the little fancy little guitar, little acoustics and stuff. All my time, right over this. But the Bible says, that, give me verse 1. He says, have mercy on me, oh God, according to your steadfast love. Look what David says in verse 2. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. David, I said to this particular psalm, many of us identify with this one more than any other one. Because many of us have seen the destruction that sin can have. Yes, yes. David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Because sin makes you and I dirty. Sin stains our garments. Sin causes us to look in a way or carry ourselves in a way that's not pleasing unto God. So not only should you have the proper view of sin, you must know secondarily, and it's on the screen, you must know the poison of sin. Sin is poisonous. Ooh, that girl's so dangerous. Sin is dangerous. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all been saved a long time. Y'all do I grab the back of your neck to make you listen to me. Sin is poisonous. It's poisonous because everything you see that is poison doesn't warn you that it's poison. Everything that's poisonous don't come with a skull and the bones. But no, it's poisonous. That's how sin is. Sin doesn't say, I'm poison. But no, it infuses poison in my soul, in my body. What dirt is to the skin, sin is to the soul. What dirt is to our garments, sin is to our hearts. What dirt is to the natural, so is sin. And David said, Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to wash me thoroughly from this poison. Look at my feeble attempt to give you a definition of poison. Poison is a substance that causes death or harm when introduced into or absorbed by a living organism. It's amazing because poison, whenever we are introduced or whenever it is we are absorbed by it, it could bring death or it can bring bodily harm. But how much more detrimental is sin? Because sin also, or poison also rather, is something that has a destructive or corrupting influence. Come on here, somebody. Here, I want to tell you that joker that you talking to, he's poisonous. If he's pulling you away from the things of God, he's poisonous. I know you lonely. I know he meets your needs. I know he's handsome, tall, dark, and handsome, short, round, whatever it is your preference here. I know he's this and he's that. But if he's pulling you away from the things of God, he is poisonous. Poison is something that is destructive or that corrupts us. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He said, be not deceived. He said, do not fool yourself. Evil communication will corrupt your good manner. There are some things that we are induced to. There are some things that we're introduced to. There are some things that we come in contact with. There are some people that we come in contact with. There are some people that we're in relationship with, and they are poisonous because they're not promoting and pushing me to the things of God, but yet and still they're pulling me away. David said, cleanse me thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly, God, because I have a proper view of sin and a proper view, God, of the poison of sin. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I got a sneaky suspicion that there's somebody in here that's engaged in something that's poisonous. Come on here. They start out your friend, but 6 months later, you're trying to figure out it's a thin line between love and hate. Come on here, somebody. Have you ever been there? The way you're going to start talking to somebody, and you 6 months into it, you say, this joker crazy. Y'all ain't going to help me here. Have you ever been there before? The way you mess around and let your heart go, and you gave them your routing number, and you trying, this girl got a problem. Come on here, somebody. She, why? Wait, the store is only 15 minutes away. It took you 16 minutes. And here, even if the traffic light stops you, the one right there is only for 30 seconds. The one down there is only for 15. Even if you got stopped here, because the wind is throwing, is blowing to a 30-degree angle, it should not, the aerodynamics should not have slowed your car down if you're driving 35 miles an hour, because we are in a 35 mile. Have you ever been with somebody and they sitting there filling your car, talking about your car still hot? Where you been at? Y'all ain't gonna help me. Who footprints is this in the dirt? Y'all ain't gonna help me. You're saying you walk to the door, joker, that's your footprint. Come on here, somebody. Have you ever been with somebody and they're poisonous? Come on here, somebody. They mess around and slash your tires, mess around, put sugar in your tank, mess around and bust out your window. Come on, y'all ain't help me here. Y'all don't make me. Poison. poison. I'm coming to help you today. Some of us need to rid ourselves of some poison. Some of us need a spiritual detox. Some of us need to get that stuff out of our system. Some of us got to get that person away from me and from around me. David said, no, this sin has a poison. But verse 3, let me hasten. David says in verse 3, for I know my transgressions. David says, my sin is ever before me. I love David because he's so brutally honest. I love David because he is so transparent. I love David because he understands he has a proper view of sin. He knows the poison of sin. And thirdly, it's on the screen, he knows the possession of my sin. Can I tell you why some of us can never be who God has called us to be? Because we always blame our sin on someone else. You don't know nobody like that, but we just keep on talking. Can I tell you why we never walk in the power and the favor and the anointing of God? Because we won't take position we won't take possession of my sin. David could have blamed everybody, including God, for his sin with Bathsheba. David could have said, God, if you didn't want me to sleep with her, you should have told me to go to war. God, if you didn't want me to meet her, you wouldn't have had her out there at the same time I was on the roof. Why you let her be out there? God, you're omnipresent. You're omnipotent. You can do whatever you want to do. Why didn't you stop that? David could have said, God, if you didn't want me to be in this, why'd you allow my men and my army to obey me? They could say, no, king, we're not doing that. We're not going to bring her to you. No, king, we're not going to put Uriah on the front line. No, king. God, David could have blamed Uriah and said, well, God, why didn't you have Uriah go in there and sleep with her? We could have covered it up. But put the verse back up. David says, these are my transgressions. He says, I know my transgression. I know my sin. My sin is ever before me. Oh, come on. I want to help somebody today to stop pointing fingers about your sin. Stop pointing fingers. If they wouldn't have did this, then I wouldn't be in this. If my father would have loved me the way he was supposed to love me, then I wouldn't be in the shape I'm in. If my mother wouldn't have did what she did, I wouldn't be where I was. I was molested and I was raped and I was taken advantage of. I was fired wrongfully. I was walked away from. Come on, there are so many things that happen to all of us, and I don't want to minimize none of your pain. Your pain is real, but I must take possession of my sin. You can't blame the color of your skin for where you are in life. You can't blame what somebody did to you about where you are in life. You can't blame the fact that they did what they did and said what they said for where you are. But no, you must take possession, because God, even though you let me see her, I knew that wasn't my wife. I was supposed to do what I was supposed to do. God, even though you let them come to bring the woman to me, I wasn't supposed to be with her. God, because I know better. Come on here, somebody. If you know better, then you ought to do better. Stop blaming God for what's going on in your life. Stop blaming people about what's going on in your life. Stop blaming people who wasn't there, people who didn't step up. No, it's nobody's fault but yours. It's nobody's fault but the man in the mirror. Listen to me, you all. Will you grow up today? Will we grow up today and take ownership and say, my sin is my sin. My decisions has been my decisions. I've willfully rebelled against God. I knew what God's plan was for my life, but his plan was taking too long. I knew what God wanted for me, but he was taking the long way. I knew what God had said belonged to me, but I wanted something else. My sin is my sin. 'Twas the night before Christmas. All through the house. It's a silent night. But no matter how quiet you are, you must hear that you must take ownership of what you have done, what I have done, and say, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. In fact, God, I see dead people. The Bible says in verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned. Y'all don't watch no movies. And done what is evil in your sight. Our sin offends God. Look at the wisdom that David said. David said, against you and you only have I sinned. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. But he had an understanding. The only one he had truly offended and upset was God. I believe I would carry myself a little differently if I knew that I wasn't just being mean and nasty to you. I was really being mean and nasty to God. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all want Bible for that too? Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said, he that despiseth you despiseth me. He that hates you hates me. If I'm a child of God and you bothering me, you're really not bothering me. You're bothering God. Come on here, somebody. And so if I really had an understanding that the one that I'm sinning against is God, I think it would change my perspective. I think it would change the way I deal with people, deal with folks, because I understand that God, I'm offending you with my sin. I'm offending you with what I've done. I'm offending you, God, for what has taken place in my life. David says again, you and you only have I sinned. He says, God, I want to be blameless before you. Look at verse 5. He says, behold, look, I was brought forth in what? Iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. See, David waits 5 verses to bring this into his song, because he doesn't want us to get confused to think that the thing that he has done was because of the fact that he got it from his mama. David don't want us to think that he's blaming someone else. All of us have a sin nature. All of us have a sin nature. It's called depravity. Depravity is on the screen. It's called depravity. It means it refers to the damaged relationship between God and humans. And it speaks to the corruption of human nature, such as there is written in every human and ongoing, here's the key, an ongoing what? Tendency towards sin. You and I have a natural pulling to sinful things because it's in our nature. You and I have a natural tendency to want to go after the things that we're not supposed to have, because it's in our nature. Oh, I read in what was it? In Mark Twain, one of those books, there was a sidewalk, and there was a white fence on the sidewalk, and there was a hole inside the fence. And here people will walk past this this fence every day, walk down the sidewalk. They see the hole there, but it's just a hole in the fence. But then one day somebody put up a sign and said, under no circumstances should anybody ever look in this hole. Can I tell you that the same hole, the same sidewalk, it became a temptation, because now all of a sudden I'm trying to figure out, well, what's on the other side of that fence? I'm trying to figure out, well, what if I look real quick? Nobody's looking. I just want to find out what's going on. Is somebody over there I'm not supposed to see? Is something going on over there I'm not supposed to be looking? Now the battle is on, because the law is there. The law say don't look, and the hole is there. Oh my God, the law is right there, and here I should not peep in. But anytime there's law, it's a natural inclination. It's a natural wooing for me to look and to long for the things that I'm not supposed to have. But here it is. Can I tell you that we're morally depraved? But can I tell you, and you may have been born with the way that you are. You may be shaped the way that you are. It may have gotten with a point that has been passed down from generation to generation. You may have been born like that. But I come to tell you, that's why you need to be born again. Here it is. That's not an excuse because you was born the way you're born. That's not an excuse. excuse because that's your nature. That's not your excuse because that's how you are. No, no, no. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. Behold, all things are passed away. I may be who I am. I maybe was born like that, but I'm so glad of the saving grace of God that I don't have to stay the way that I am. But no, God has come to transform me. God has come to change me. God has come to lift me up out of the muck and the mire that I can come back running to him. Let me hurry. Am I boring y'all? Look what David says in verse 6. He says, behold, he's talking to God, you delight in truth. In the where? Inward part. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. David has a knowledge, a proper view of sin. He understands the poison of sin. He has the possession of his own sin. And David has, this is where many of us miss it, David has a proper view of God. He says, God, you're not concerned with my exterior. You're concerned with truth in the inward part. David said, God, you're concerned with that thing that's in me that nobody knows is there. David said, God, you're concerned about the secret places. Can I tell you that God is with you even in your secret places? Can I tell you that God is right there sitting at your computer with you? At 2 o'clock in the morning, when your spouse is in the room sleep, God is just sitting over there like, really? Really? So you gonna do that, huh? This what we gotta look at tonight, huh? Can I tell you that God is concerned and he's there with me? He knows, not he doesn't know the public me. He also knows the private me. God knows not just the public me, because the public me got it all under control, but it's the private me. We must have a proper view of God. If you really knew that God was watching you, if you really believed that God was with you everywhere you go, if you really believed that God is standing there holding an account and holding a record of every idle word, every vain word, every mean word, every nasty word, would you still say what you're saying? I don't think we have a proper view. And I want you all to come back. So I got to lighten it up a little bit. But these one of those days, you should have stayed at the house. look at verse 7. Verse 7, look what David says. Look at his response. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. He says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord have mercy. He said, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Purge me, God. There's something that I ran across. I forgot to do it at 9 a.m. service. There's something I ran across from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that bearded Baptist preacher from back in the day. He talked about in one of his sermons. It's called The Wordless Book. The Wordless Book. And I read that thing and I said, I got to put that together. Because he talked about how there's a book that has no words, but it tells our story. Preach, Pastor Kobe. He tells us that this is Psalm 51 and 5. All of us have been shaped in iniquity. All of us have been born in sin. Sin is likened to blackness. It equates to darkness. It equates from being separated from God. And even though this book has no words, when I look at myself and I look at my life, it speaks to me. But David said, give me verse 7. Give me verse 7. He says, whenever it is that God, I see who I am, God, I ask you to cleanse me. David prays for cleansing. Oh, my God, the wordless book has some red there. Oh, the little kids put this together for me. They colored it red for me on yesterday, put them together. And the red purges me. The blood of Jesus Christ It washes away all the filth and all the stain, the blood of Jesus Christ. It washes me. And then, like he says on verse number 7, I come out white as snow. Come on, God took my black dirty soul. He dipped it in his red blood, and ain't nobody dope as me. I'm so fresh and so clean, clean, clean. God took my black dirty soul, dipped it in his red blood, and now I'm white as snow. Come on here. Can I tell you that God desires to purge us? God desires to cleanse us. That's what David did in verse number 7. He has a prayer for cleansing. He said, God, cleanse me. I want you to purge me with hyssop. Is there anybody in here that knows that sin has stained you? Is anybody here know that sin have left you handicapped? That sin have left you behind the scorecard? That sin have messed your life up? Can I tell you that the Lord desires to clean you? The Lord desires to purge you. When you come with a humble heart, when you come with the right spirit, God will clean you up. Somebody ought to give him some praise right now. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God to cleanse me. Look what David said. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm giving y'all this and we're getting out of here. David says, verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. David was a place in his life that where he had found himself. Like the bottom part of the verse there, we was fighting against God. God had judged David. David said, God broke my bones. Come on, can I tell you that why you can't seemingly have no fruitful relationships? Because God won't let it be. Can I tell you the reason? Reason why whenever it is you seem like you're getting ahead, God won't let it be. You take 2 steps forward and God knocks you back 4 or 5. What do you do when you find yourself fighting against God? What do you do when you find yourself warring against God? David said, the Lord himself has broke my bones. The Lord himself has hurt me. God desires to hurt you, not that he can destroy you, but he hurts you that he may help you. He hurts you that he can propel you. He hurts you to get your mind right. He hurts you to get your heart right. He hurts you to get you to where you say, Lord, I'm ready for you to do whatever it is you desire me to do. Look at verse number 10. David said, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what God desires to do. He desired to create in you. You don't have the will to do what God has called you to do. You don't even have the desire to do what God has called you to do. You don't even have the inclination to go after the things of God. It doesn't interest you to read your word. It doesn't interest you to pray. You don't get anything from it. You don't understand it. You don't know why we do it. That's why you need God to create in you a clean heart. That's why you need God not to make over what you have, but to literally to infuse you and to give you something that you never had before. Lord, I ask you to give me a hunger. I ask you, God, to help me to develop an appetite for your word. God, I want to develop an appetite for the things of God. God, because I want you to do something in me. Look at that same verse in the Message translation. Look what it says. God, make a fresh start in me. He says, shape a Genesis week from my chaos of my life. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody in here. You need a Genesis week in your life. You need a Genesis week where it looks chaotic. It's chaotic in your mind. It's chaotic in your heart. It's chaotic in your spirit. It's chaotic on your job. You need the Lord to step on the platform of your nothingness and speak life to you. You need God to say, let there be light. Let there be joy. Let there be peace. You need the Lord to step up and speak something over your life. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Give them some praise. I'm getting ready to leave y'all alone, but I'm looking for somebody that desires to run back to the Lord. I'm looking for somebody that'll make up in their mind like David and say, Lord, I got a proper perspective about sin. That say, Lord, I understand the poison of sin. That say, Lord, I'm in possession of my sin. Lord, I'm praying for cleansing. But here David said, not only do I want you to clean me, not only do I want you to wash me, not only do I want you to purge me, but David prayed for restoration. David said, Lord, I want you to restore me. Lord, I want you to wash me, but just don't leave me clean. Lord, I want you to restore me. And I come to let you know today, that's what Joel said in Joel chapter 2, verse number 25. He said, the Lord will restore unto you everything that the canker worm stole, everything that the palmer worm is eating,
everything that the locust has eaten. And the Lord will restore. He will restore the years that all that stuff took from you. Come on, I come to encourage you.
Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us.